comes from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Hear now God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it is very wonderful to be with you today as you celebrate 7 years of God's grace to this local church. And personally, I've got to witness that in a front row seat. I've got to see this church from when it began to where it is now, and I can't express enough how encouraging that is. I really can't. It's so encouraging. And when I was thinking about what I could maybe minister to, what part of God's word I could point us to today, there were a few things that ran through my mind, but we ended up landing, and the elders felt comfortable that speaking from Hebrews chapter 12 when it comes to the topic of just endurance, enduring in the Christian faith. And it's a pretty pertinent topic for me personally, because last year, Liberty Mermaid Beach, we celebrated 10 years of life as a local church. And I was gifted to be able to take long service leave last year. And as I had that time on long service leave, I particularly took time just reading over and rereading over the book of Hebrews. So no commentaries, nothing study-wise, but just rereading over the letter. And the reason that I wanted to read over it is because Hebrews is a letter of exhortation that's written to Christians that they might persevere and endure in the race of faith. And so after 10 years being a part of a church plant and about 25 years of living out the Christian faith, this was an exhortation for me, something that I really wanted to have time to think on. Really wanted to think on it, because the reality is, I figure if I live to be 70, I still have more than half of my Christian race left to run. 41 now. Became a Christian somewhere in my late teens. And that's a lot of time. And like I said, what strikes me is, as I get older, I do feel like life is short. I feel like life is short. It's going fast so quickly. My children are growing. The church is continuing to mature and grow. And yet, even though life feels short, for some reason, faith feels like it's taking forever. Just feels like it's taking forever. And I don't know about you, but at the start of my faith, when I first became a Christian, I was off to a flying start. As soon as I became a Christian, I'll never forget it, I was so hungry for the Word of God. I couldn't get enough of it. I never missed a church service. Whenever there was a Christian conference and I knew about it, I was going to the Christian conference. I would consume Christian literature. I would serve in anything and everything that I could. Would go down and serve in, we used to have a dementia ward up near the local church. Used to serve at that. Anywhere I could serve, I wanted to serve. Anything I could do, sharing my faith was, it wasn't just, it felt easy back then, but it was also just such a thrill. And yet as time went on, what I began to experience, I think, and some of you might be able to relate to this, is what you might call faith fatigue. I just started to become feeling fatigued in my faith, worn down, exhausted. And maybe you can relate to that. My Christianity started to feel much less like a park run or a fun run, and it began to feel much more like a marathon. And in case you're wondering, the reason Christianity feels like that is because Christianity is like that. It is like that. According to the author of this letter, Christianity is a lifelong race. A lifelong race. And the reality is, if we're going to keep on running this race, which has been set before us with endurance, and not grow weary, not grow faint-hearted, if we're going to keep our love for the Lord, our love for His church, our love for the lost, keep our zeal for doing good, keep our zeal for seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, then we're going to need encouragement. We're going to need to be urged onward, which is to say, we're going to need to be exhorted. We're going to need exhortation. And what I loved about the letter to the Hebrews is that it is full of exhortation. It's full of it. In fact, at the end of Hebrews, Hebrews 13:22, quite literally, the author says, this letter is a letter of exhortation. He says, I've written to you briefly and bear with my word of exhortation. And you know, as we begin, I just want to read you some of the exhortations found in this letter. In Hebrews 4:14 and 15, the author writes, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, exhortation. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then in verse 16, exhortation. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then in Hebrews 10:23 to 25, exhortation. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us, exhortation, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, it's a letter full of exhortations. The author is almost like a co-runner in the race with us. Don't think of him as someone standing on the sidelines yelling at you as you run. He's someone running in the race. He's like a co-runner. And he's yelling out in this race, and he's encouraging Christians, calling out to them, urging them on, exhorting them, keep going. Keep running. Keep holding fast your confession. Keep drawing near to the throne of grace. Keep stirring up one another to love and good works. Keep meeting together. Keep encouraging one another. And you know, the question I found myself asking as I was reading through Hebrews over my leave was, why is there all these exhortations? It's a letter of exhortation. It's full of exhortation. But why all these exhortations? And the reason for it is the people that this author was writing to, they'd been running the race of faith for some time. And you know, at the start of their faith, when they were first enlightened, the author tells us in Hebrews 10:32, when they were first enlightened to the faith, the author says that in spite of hardship and suffering, they were off to a flying start. Maybe like you can relate to that. You became a Christian and you were just off and going. Out of the blocks, come on. That was these people. In spite of hardship and suffering, they were off to a flying start. They were abounding in compassion and joy. And yet as time went on, these people were becoming complacent in their faith. We read in this letter that they still needed someone to teach them when they should have been teachers themselves. They had been in God's word and under God's word for long enough. They were losing confidence in Jesus. They were becoming weary and faint-hearted. And they were in danger. They were in danger. And you go, in danger of what? They were in danger of drifting away, falling away, and throwing away their faith. And that's what you'll discover as you read through this letter. In Hebrews 2, verse 1, the author writes, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brothers, lest there be an any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. And then in Hebrews 10:35-36, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. These believers were in danger of drifting away from the faith, falling away from the faith, throwing away their faith. And I am quite sure that if you've been a Christian for any length of time, then sadly you've seen all three of these things take place. People who once professed faith, drifting away, falling away, and throwing away their faith. And perhaps you're here today and you're in one of those three categories. You're here and yet you feel yourself drifting. You're here, you feel yourself slowly, little by little, falling away. You might even be here today and you're just contemplating throwing it all in today. It's been however many years following Jesus and I'm just at my end. I'm weary, I'm faint-hearted. I don't know if I want to keep going on. Well, perhaps if that is you here today, then this word in God's kindness might be a word in season. When it comes to running the race of faith with endurance, this passage exhorts us to do two things in particular. Just two things. It exhorts us to lay aside weight and sin and look to Jesus. And that's what I want to encourage us towards today. And so I want to encourage you as we go through these few verses today, please keep your Bible open. Please, as I speak, test what I'm saying against the scriptures so that you in turn can hold fast to what's true, what's good, and be strengthened by it. And I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your word is living. It actually is alive. However, Father, we are often asleep to it. In this time, would you graciously waken us to your word today? And would you let our hearts burn within us as you draw near to us here now in the scriptures? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage begins, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, which is to say, since we are surrounded by so many who have run with endurance and finished the race that was set before them, and that's Hebrews 11, well, let us also, like them, run with endurance and finish the race that is set before us. And I want you to notice the language. They're not called a crowd of spectators that cheer us on. No, they're called a cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses is recorded in Hebrews 11. You've got Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. This cloud of witnesses, what do witnesses do? Well, they bear witness to something. They're not spectators cheering us on, they're witnesses. And what these people do is they bear witness to us that ordinary, sinful, broken people can, in God's grace, endure and finish the race of faith. And that's what you'll find if you look into every one of the people that he mentions in Hebrews 11, what's often called the hall of faith. They're all ordinary, sinful, broken people. And yet in God's grace and kindness, they endured. And they ran their race of faith till the end, in spite of whatever hardship or suffering they were facing, whether they were conquering kingdoms, Hebrews 11, 32, or whether they were literally being cut in two, Hebrews 11, 37. They endured. And so how will we, like this cloud of witnesses, do this? Well, the author tells us in verse 1, by laying aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and by running with endurance the race that's set before us. And now, before we get to the exhortation itself, I think it's firstly important just to notice the corporate nature of the exhortation. And I've been so encouraged hearing just prayers of thanksgiving and testimonies today of people who are thankful. And I found something that was the same with all of them, is every single one of them said, I'm so thankful for the corporate nature of the church. That when I came here, I was loved. People came alongside me. They prayed with me. They met with me. They helped me move house. And I want to point out firstly in this verse just the corporate nature of this exhortation. There's a corporate nature to it. It's not something addressed to us individually, but it's something addressed to us together. The author says, let us lay aside. Let us run with endurance. Which is to say, when it comes to the race of faith, we're not called to be lone ranger runners. We're not. When it comes to this race, it isn't a race where we run individually to try and win a prize. And that's often how we picture racing, yes? It's a race we're in. One person wins the prize, but not the Christian race. No, this is a race where we run corporately together as a team. It's in a race where everyone who finishes receives the prize. Everyone. And we're called to help each other in this race. We're called to help those that the Lord has sovereignly placed next to us. Run the race so that they might also make it to the end. And so what I just want to say here is, you know, if you notice people in your local church community and family and they are running alone, it's so important that we gather around and support people that the Lord has sovereignly placed with us. You know, you didn't get to choose who comes to be a part of this local church today. No, the Lord did. And he did it for all of your good. And so if you notice people here that you don't know and they feel like maybe they are running alone, I'd encourage you today, this is a corporate call. Come alongside them. And if you're perhaps here today and you're just running alone, you're maybe not connecting into the local church. You're staying at a distance. You're thinking, look, I'll just kind of come in and I'll leave. And you're kind of a lone ranger runner. I would encourage you to come alongside others in this church. It's not God's plan for you to be running alone. The people most likely to fall behind in this race are the people that are alone and isolated. So I want to encourage you to remember that this exhortation is a corporate exhortation. And so how we with endurance run this corporate race of faith set before us? Well, firstly, by laying aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And in saying this, our author is not saying that if we have any sin in our life, that we're not going to finish the race. He's not saying that if we are a sinner, we're not going to finish the race. No, all of us sin in thought and word and deed. All of us are sinners. What our author is saying is that the kind of thing that will stop us from finishing the race of faith is the sin that clings so closely, which is to say the sin that we won't fight against, sin that we won't forsake and turn away from. That's the type of thing that's going to trip us up and stop finishing this race. And you might notice here, he says, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And you can understand that two different ways, that it's speaking of one thing, sin, or perhaps it's speaking of two things. That is to say, weight being non-sinful things that are just weighing us down. They're not bad things, not sinful things in and of themselves, but they're weighing us down. They're hindering us when it comes to making progress in the Christian life. Good things, but good things that we're just putting too much attention and focus on. Not that it's stealing all our attention from the Lord, but it's taking enough where it's just slowing us down. And you know, I find the longer that my faith goes on, the easier it is to pick up more and more things that slowly just begin to weigh me down and hinder me in continuing to make progress in running the Christian life, running the Christian race. So it could very well be that he's speaking about non-sinful things which weigh us down and sinful things which trip us up. I encourage you to test that though. See what you think. Test it in the scriptures. And something I've been thinking about here when he says this, to lay aside weight and sin which clings so closely. The metaphor, obviously, I think here still relates to the race. And in these times when people race, people in these times didn't obviously wear what we wore. Typically, they wore robes, longer garments. And when people race in these times, obviously, and they race, they took those robes off. And if you think about it today, most of us will have noticed that when athletes run marathons, they don't wear trench coats, tracksuits, backpacks, or hiking boots. In fact, just think about it yourself. If you go for a run, do you take all the keys or just one, right? You take one off and you put it in because you don't want to weigh yourself down. Most of us don't take a mobile phone either, right? Because it's going to weigh us down. It's going to hinder us. It's going to be one sign. Most of us, when we go running, we take off clothes that are going to hold us back, constrict us. That's what he's getting at here. Take off everything that will either weigh you down or trip you up in the race of faith so that you might not be hindered. And in light of that, then let me ask you today. Let me ask us today. Is there perhaps something that is weighing you down and needs to be taken off? Is there perhaps something that's hindering you from making progress in the Christian life, whether it be sinful or perhaps non-sinful? What type of things? In many ways, I think we need the Holy Spirit to help us. If it's something, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will put his finger on that thing for your life, but some possible things it might be. Is it perhaps maybe a hobby of yours that's become an obsession? Started off as just something small that I enjoy, but now it's consuming more and more of life. Is it perhaps a commitment to people or perhaps even an institution that's taking up so much of your time that you've got little to none left over? Is it perhaps your job? Perhaps unwise relationships with people that are leading you to drift? Whether that be a circle of friends in your school, university, perhaps sports team or workforce? Whether that be perhaps a boyfriend or a girlfriend that's leading you to drift from God's word, to compromise on God's word? Is it perhaps a mistaken ambition? Something that you set out to do for God, but now God is really nowhere to be seen in it. Perhaps petty distractions. Things like social media on your phone. Get up with all good intentions to pray and have time with the Lord, and then I turn on, and before you know it, 10 minutes of scrolling's passed by, or 10 minutes of reading the news. Something petty description like social media on your phone, Netflix, Disney, Stan, Paramount, name them. How many of them are there? So many of them today. Taking up too much of your time, distracting you, hindering you from making progress in the Christian life. I could be a part of the Bible reading group, but there's a really good show on I want to watch. Is it perhaps travel or camping? Not bad things in and of themselves, but it's becoming so frequent that it's causing you to do what the author of this letter says not to do, and that is neglect the gathering of God's people. Maybe you're visiting today, and it might even possibly be today the local church you come from. It no longer teaches the Bible. You're not growing. They're not listening to your concerns, and they're not open. They're not open at all to making any changes. What's hindering you from making progress in the Christian life? Lay it aside. Lay it aside, the author says. Lay it aside lest you begin to drift away, fall away, or perhaps even throw away the faith you profess. Lay it aside, the author says in verse 2, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. We read in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So if we're going to run with endurance the race that's set before us, we're going to need to look to Jesus. You know, the interesting thing is he's just laid forth a whole lot of examples of men and women that have run with endurance the race of faith. And I take it that he means, you know, it's really good to look to examples of faith that are recorded in Hebrews 11. It's good to look to examples of faith. However, it's even better to look to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is not just an example of faith. Jesus is the par excellence exemplar of faith. Jesus is the founder of faith, that is the forerunner of faith, the pioneer of faith, the one in whose footsteps and path we follow. Jesus is the perfecter of faith, the only one to ever live a truly perfect life of faith, the only one who is able to perfect our faith. He is indeed the perfect foundation of faith. Look to Jesus. And you know, in many ways, looking to Jesus is really what the inspired author of this letter has been trying to get these people to do all along. Like at the very beginning, he says, you know, in former times, God spoke through the prophets. In these times, God has most fully spoken in and through Jesus. And then as the letter goes on, it's almost as he says, you know, prophets are good. Angels are good. Moses is good. Priests, the priesthood and sacrifices are good. But Jesus is even better. Don't get all your attention caught on them so much that you lose focus and lose sight of Jesus. Look to Jesus, the writer says. Look to Jesus and how he ran the race set before him. Look to Jesus who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising shame. Which in many ways, I think, is almost to say, if you want to run with endurance, the race that is set before you, well, look to Jesus and what he endured for you. Jesus endured the cross for you, for me. If we want to endure through hardships we're perhaps facing, then like Jesus, let's look to the joy that's set before us. Jesus looked to the joy that was set before him. What is that joy that was set before him? Many things. Fulfilling the perfect plan of God's redemption and restoration for the world. I think it's probably the joy set before him is re-entering back into the presence of his Father that he had before he left and came down to earth. And at another level, I think it's also the joy set before him as you and me, that we would be with him in his Father's presence. As Jesus looked to the joy set before him, let's look to the joy set before us. Being with Jesus in a redeemed and a restored world where there's no sickness, no sadness, no sorrow, no death, in a place where all tears are wiped away. The Apostle Paul said that I consider the sufferings of the present world not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Look to Jesus. Lay aside weight and sin. Look to Jesus. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, commenting on this verse, said, every step along the path of life is a battle for the Christian to keep his two eyes fixed upon Christ. And the question really is, how do we do that? And that's kind of where I want to go now, is look at, it's great to say we should lay aside things, and we should, and we need to lay aside things, and we need to look to Jesus, but the question is how? How do we look to Jesus? How is it that you and I keep our two eyes fixed on Jesus? And I want to propose just a couple of ways that we can do this. And they're very simple. They're very basic ways. There's nothing groundbreaking. There's nothing magical or mysterious that I'm about to share with you when it comes to doing this. And yet, at the same way, I think the things I'm about to share with you are profound and often overlooked. How do we keep our two eyes on Jesus? Well, firstly, we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus by looking to Jesus in the Scriptures. All the Scriptures do point to Christ. And yet, perhaps another way you can do it is by just taking some time to set your eyes on Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus in Hebrews. And at the start of this year, I got to a point where I gathered some guys in the local church I'm a part of and said, how about we have a year where we dedicate a year just to rereading and reading the Gospels on repeat for the whole year? And we started with Hebrews because everyone was like, well, you did Hebrews in your time of leave. And so we feel like we missed out on that. So let's do Hebrews first. And then let's just read through the Gospels. And when we finish, we'll read through. And so I meet with those guys every Wednesday, early in the morning. And we read through the Gospels on repeat together. Why? Because we want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose sight of Jesus. And I feel often when it comes to running the race, you can get so fixated on what you're doing that often you just take your eyes off him. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose sight of who he is. I don't want to lose sight of what he was like here in his humanity. I don't want to lose sight of who he said he was. And I don't want to lose sight of what he did for me through his life, his death, and his resurrection. I don't want to lose sight of that. I don't want to lose sight of what he said, his teachings. I don't want to lose sight of what Paul would say, the Son of God who loved me, Will Ross, and gave his life for me. I don't want to lose sight of him. And so one way I think we can work to continue to fix our eyes on Jesus is in the Scriptures. You'll do that every Sunday when you gather. You'll do that when you come to classes that you learn in gospel communities. And you can do that in more personal ways as well, by just gathering with other believers to spend time in God's Word together. And I might propose the Gospels on repeat might be a great way to begin that this year. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So we can look to Jesus in the Scriptures. Secondly, we can look to Jesus in prayer. Now, our author reminds us here in verse 2 that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I think in many ways that should hearken us back to something he said earlier in this letter, in Hebrews chapter 4, where he says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need grace and help in your time of need today? I know I do. I need help. I'm currently walking out a process with my mother. She has dementia, Alzheimer's, and I feel like every time I see her, I'm losing just a little bit more. And I'm trying to keep my eyes on Jesus and know that he can relate with everything that I'm facing in this world. He knows what it is to lose. He can relate with me. He knows what it is to struggle with sin. The circumstances we're going through are not great. And often, because there's multiple people involved, I want to respond in ways that are less than godly. I want to perhaps return evil for evil. And I look to him. I look to him and who he is and what he's like in the Scriptures and how he treated people. And I come to him in prayer and ask, would you please give me grace and mercy and help me in my time of need so that I might act towards these people as you would and not as how I want to. Do you need grace today to help you in your time of need? Look to Jesus in prayer. Two ways. Look to Jesus in the Scriptures. Look to Jesus in prayer. The Christian life is a lifelong corporate race that's set before us. And it's set before us. And do you know the great thing is this race has been appointed for you and for me by a Heavenly Father. Do you know the race that I run and the race you run? It will be different. It won't be the same. What I will face in this life, what you will face in this life, it will not be identical. It will be different. My race in the Christian faith is somewhat different to your race. But the good news is this is a race that is set before us. And do you know who set this race before us? Our Heavenly Father. He's appointed the race for you. He's appointed the race for me. He is good. He does good. Trust in that. Whatever you're facing now, whatever your race is of faith, that you're, the hurdles you're trying to overcome, trust in the fact that your Heavenly Father is good and He is the one who has chosen and set this race before you. Lay aside weight. Keep looking to Jesus. And let me ask you then, in light of however many years you've been following Jesus, maybe you've been here from the very beginning 7 years ago, you've been here, it's when you became a Christian, you've been following Jesus for 7 years, maybe 1 year, 2 years, maybe 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You've been running the race of faith. Let me ask you today, have you been drifting? Have you been falling away? Have you perhaps been considering throwing it away? Lay aside the weights and sin that are dragging you down and look to Jesus today. And let me encourage you, He will not fail you. He'll not fail you. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And you know, if you're perhaps here today exploring the Christian faith, perhaps you're here today looking into the Christian faith, I believe the reason you're here today is not because you had a great idea. I believe the reason you're here today is because God providentially drew you in today. Why did He draw you in today? Because He wants you to look to Jesus. He wants you to turn away from the self-supposed right that we all have to try and just live life our own way. And He wants you to turn and look to Jesus. He wants you to look to Jesus and what He has accomplished for you through His perfect life, His sin-bearing death, and His resurrection. He wants you to look to Jesus. He wants you to turn to Him, trust in Him. He wants you to follow Him so that you might have forgiveness of your sins, adoption into God's family, and a future hope of being in full relationship with God now and forever. If you're here today looking into the faith, I'd encourage you, lay aside your self-supposed right to live your own way. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, and ask Jesus today to grant you faith. We bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. And I have no doubt in my mind that You have graciously drawn near to us all in this time in and through Your word. Help us to hear Your word. Help us to heed Your word today. Help us to continue as we run this race to run with endurance, laying aside weight and sin and looking to Jesus. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus again today, to look full in His glorious face, that the things of earth would become strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We ask this in His name. Amen.